What I'm going to share with you today is not an expositional message, but rather a topical message, something that I hope will be a help to you. And I hope you'll take notes if you can. If you can't, or if you don't want to, but you'd like to have a copy of what I'm going to give you, please let me know, and I'll be sure to give you a copy. Not today, but I'll probably give you a copy next week sometime. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, a verse that I'm sure you know. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and we're just going to use that as a sort of an undergirding for what we're going to look at. For the word of God is living and powerful, and the word quick means living. Understand, that's my own translation. But the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, the Bible is the best-selling, least-read book in the history of books. People just don't read the Bible. I fear that even the church of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't read the Bible. They may read it on Sunday morning in the service when the pastor gives the text and preaches on the text and so forth. But then they get home on Monday, it's laid on the shelf and it stays there until the following Sunday. That ought not so to be, my beloved. See, many people don't understand the Bible. Now, what I'm going to give you, you already know. I'm just kind of reviewing things, I guess. Many people sitting in the pews of Bible-believing fundamental churches don't bother reading the Bible because they say, I can't understand it. And so they'll go out and buy some modern translation that's a piece of junk, and that doesn't help them any, because generally speaking, they use language that you and I can't understand. The Bible is not a complicated book. The Bible is a very simple book. It's because we're simple people. Amen? Folks, I preached for many, many years as a pastor, and I always had to teach folks to say amen. And I'm not going to do that here. I'm not going to teach you. But if you want to say amen, if you can't hold it in, just give it out, you know? I loved to hear people saying amen. It's like saying sick 'em to a dog. But the Bible is not a complicated book, as can be seen from what the Scripture says. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, thou shalt, we're going to look at that later, I hope we have time for it, but thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul writing to Timothy said, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know, we teach Sunday school, we teach Bible in the little kids' Sunday school, and the little kids can learn Scripture, can understand Scripture. They can understand it because it's simple. Now, years ago, the Lord taught me 8 basic rules, which if diligently followed, will help you and me to understand, better understand the book. Now, I want a little caveat there. We're not going to completely understand it. It's God's Word, and God is infinite, and we are finite. And so consequently, we're going to be learning all of our lives. I've been a Christian for 60 years. 60 years ago, the Lord saved me. I never read the Bible prior to that. For 30 years, I never read the Bible. Because in the Roman Catholic Church, you don't read the Bible. Only the priest can do that. And so consequently, we didn't read the Bible. But the author of this, this is God's Word. And the first rule is the rule of regeneration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You see, this book, the author of this book, is the Holy Spirit of God. And if he's the author of the book, he knows exactly what's in there, and he can explain it to you and to me, and we can understand it from him. See, the Word of God tells us that the prophecy came in old time, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That word moved has the idea of being carried along. We find it in Acts chapter 27 in relationship to the shipwreck, that the wind was blowing the ship whichever way it wanted to go, what carried it the way the wind wanted it to go. And the Spirit of God led the writers of the Scripture. Please keep in mind that this book is authored by God. It is written by men. Holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit of God. I have been accused over the years by some of our more liberal brethren. I say liberal, I mean liberal in the sense of fundamentalists that are liberal. I have been accused of being believing in the dictation theory of Scripture. In many cases, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. The Holy Spirit of God dictated. When I I've been looking at Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and both of those prophets constantly are saying in the Word, "The Lord spake unto me saying." The Lord spake unto me saying. You see, people, God did speak to people, speak to the prophets and to the other writers of the Scripture. But if you've never been saved, you can't understand the Word of God. Let me give you an illustration, a personal illustration. I remember before I was saved, I was working at General Electric in Utica, New York, and my wife was working at another place, and one day, I don't know, I just didn't feel good. I didn't feel good enough to go into work, and I didn't feel bad enough to go to bed. So my wife had gone off to work, and so there I was in the house all alone. I know what that means now. All alone in the house, nobody there. And I just wanted to do something. I couldn't just sit there and look at the four walls. And we had a Bible. And the reason we had a Bible is because every home ought to have a Bible, you know. Whether you read it or not doesn't make any difference. It just makes you look good. But we had a Bible. And so I pulled out the Bible, and I didn't know what to read or anything like that, because I had absolutely no training at all in the Bible. And I decided, since I was curious about the future, I thought I would read the last book, the book of Revelation. And I read Revelation, the whole book. And I got to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, which says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And I read that and I thought, my, I feel so bad for those folks. You see, I read it, but I didn't understand it. Why? Because I was not saved. I was an unsaved individual at the time. If the scripture is authored by God, then we need to have the life of God in us that we may understand what the Word of God says. Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. I'm going to look at verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Chapter 2, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now you'll forgive me if I stumble a little bit. I'm blind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. That's wonderful. Do you understand it? Do we understand that? You see, God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. But God hath, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us. You see, God reveals them to us. Where does he reveal them to us? In here. And if you don't know God, you don't know, you're not going to know what God is trying to reveal to us, what God is trying to give us and let us know about. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. Oh my. Would you start me on that? You see, the Word of God is clear that as an unsaved person, you cannot understand the Word of God. You cannot understand it. It is spiritually discerned. I have a book in my library that's a book of Spanish, a Spanish language. I can read the words. I can say them, but I don't understand them at all. Now, if by some miracle the author could be placed in my body, could I then understand them? Yes, because I have the author in my body. The same thing is true of the scriptures. I don't understand this book, but because I have the Holy as an unsaved person, but when I trust Christ as my personal Savior, and when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your body, and you have within you the resource that is needed to be able to understand the Word of God. If you're not saved, you don't have that. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of God? And you're not your own. You're bought with a price. So first of all, the first rule is the rule of regeneration. You cannot understand this book if you're not saved. Now, I'm not saying that I understand the book, but I understand a little bit more that what I read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 many years ago, that not only at that point in time, and I didn't realize it, but at that point in time, one of the very people that was spoken of in Revelation 20, verse 15, was me. But I didn't apply that to me because I didn't know. I didn't understand that. So first of all, the rule of regeneration. Secondly, there is the Christocentric interpretation. The Christocentric interpretation. In other words, putting Christ in the center of every scripture. I had an old dear friend, preacher friend, many years ago, he's in heaven now, said to me, "Ernie, anytime you can't figure out what a verse is saying, just put Jesus in the middle of it and it'll become clear for you." And I found that to be true. John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Would you look at that with me for just a moment? John 1, 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Put Jesus in the center of everything. Jesus is in every book of the Bible. He's the key that unlocks the scripture for you. Look for Him in the Old Testament because He's there. He's there. I've taught the Old Testament for many, many years, and all the way through it, Jesus is there. I think of, for example, of Genesis chapter 22, when God told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain and offer him up for an offering. And I look at Isaac going up the mountain with the wood on his back, and I see Jesus going up Mount Calvary with the cross on his back. I see the ram caught in the thicket, and I see Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The New Testament is concealed in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. Every sacrifice, every offering, the tabernacle, the people, all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, the crimson line of redemption begins in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 and goes right straight through every book of the Bible to Revelation, 22. So we have the rule of regeneration, we have the rule of Christocentric interpretation, and then we have the rule of context. That is interpreting every passage in the light of other verses, immediately before and immediately after. Now, people, I'm not talking about just verse 7 and then verse 8 and then verse 9. I'm talking about every passage in the scripture needs to be looked at in its context. You know, most of the cults, and there are a lot of them, most of the cults, the false religions of the world, use the Bible. but they use it out of context. For example, let me give you a quick example of that. 144,000 in Revelation. Oh my. The Russellites, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're not. But the Russellites use that to proclaim that the only ones that are going to heaven are the 144,000. Years ago, shortly after I was saved, we were still living in Utica, and they had, the Russellites had their annual convention in the city. And as part of that, there are various ones were going around knocking on doors, and you know how they operate. And this lady came to my door. I didn't let her in. I just went out on the porch and talked with her. But she said what she was, and I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Now, I understand that there are, you folks believe 144,000 are going to heaven." She said, "Yes, that's right." And I said, "Well, tell me, are there any of the 144,000 at the convention right now?" And she said, "Well, I think there's one." I said to her, "Man, he must be really glorified and held up by the rest of you folks." See how ridiculous it can be if you don't take things in their context. It tells us clearly in the book of Revelation, these 144,000 are 12,000 from every 12 tribe, from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. I asked her, I said, "Tell me something. What tribe is this person from?" She said, "Oh, I think I need to leave." I said, "All right, go ahead." I wouldn't hold her there. And she left. So the rule of context, but the rule of context goes beyond just the verses before and the verses after. I think you need to know, for example, I think you need to pay attention to the whole chapter, to the whole book. Pay attention to those things. They'll help you. You see, a text out of context is a pretext. And these folks use have pretexts all written all over them. That's important for us to follow the context. Read the verses before and after. Read the whole chapter. Read the book. Check the cross references. See what other verses in other books of the Bible say on the same subject. You see what I'm saying? You take it in the context. You don't take it and set it out here. You can prove anything by something taken out of context. Then we have the rule of let me find my place here. We have the rule of regeneration, the rule of Christocentric interpretation. We have the rule of contextual understanding. And then number four, we have the rule of repetition. The rule of repetition. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Would you go there for a moment? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. It says concerning the word of God to the people of God, they said, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Now, that word diligently means continually. The idea behind the Hebrew words used there is that of whetting an instrument. Now, when I was a boy, about 110 years ago, I'm not sure, but when I was a boy on my grandparents' farm, had to use a scythe. Any of you know what a scythe is? some of you do. Shows your age. And we used a scythe to cut down weeds in the grass. I used to use them to harvest, but we used a scythe, big blade like this, and on a handle, and you use the scythe to cut down weeds and grass and so forth, the long grass when it got out too long. And every so often, that cutting would result in the scythe becoming dull. And so what we would do is we would set the scythe up and have the blade out there and take a whetstone, what they call a whetstone, and we would sharpen the blade. We would sharpen the blade. Keep running that whetstone on the blade until it was got it the keenness to the edge once again. That's what that word diligently means. It means doing it over and over and over again. Doing it over and over and over again. Read it again and again and again. Some of the most greatly used Christians, pastors, and missionaries and teachers and so forth have read the Bible in their lifetime some 50 to 75 times. You say, doesn't that get boring? No, it doesn't get boring. I'm still reading it 60 years later. And I'm not saying this to brag, because I have nothing to brag about. But I have read the Old Testament 50 times. I've read the New Testament 225 times. And I'm reading it again. And you know something? Every time I read, I get something. God speaks to me. One of the verses that I memorized was Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I seek to pray that each time I open the Bible, because I want to know what God is saying to me. And what he's saying to me is what's important. Never let a day go by that you don't read the Bible. Never let a day go by without reading the Bible. Now, I recognize that perhaps some things will come up in your life that'll make it impossible for you to read it, but get at it. I keep telling the students, the young people, I keep telling them, you've got to read the Bible. You've got to keep reading the Bible. You've got to get in it. Did you have your quiet time? Have you prayed this morning? Did you talk to the Lord? Has he talked to you? That's what this Bible is all about. It's God talking to you, giving us instructions for the day. We need to read it. We need to repeat it. Read it repeatedly. We ought not to be satisfied with a little read a verse and that's the end of it. No, no, no. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. The rule of repetition. Keep at it. Keep at it. And then there's the rule of practice. Doesn't do you any good to read the Bible. You'll never understand it until you start putting into practice the things that God speaks to you about. If you put into practice into your life what you read in the Word of God, it'll make a big difference in your life. James chapter 1, verse 22. Would you turn there, please? James chapter 1. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. Doers of the word. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? We're to be obedient to God. We're to let God not only speak to us, but it doesn't do any good for him to speak to us if we don't practice what he says. Here's a child. And dad says to this child, son, I want you to stay out of the road. And the kid says, who's he think he is? Telling me what to do. After all, I got a mind of my own. I'm going to go out and play in the road if I want to. That's the end of that boy. He's gone. You see, it's not that way with the Word of God. God is gracious in giving us time and time and time again to be able to practice what God has said to us. But he wants us to get at it. It will do you no good or your fellow man any good at all if you read the Bible, but you don't practice it in your life. For example, let me give you just some things. In Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What's the action? Get saved. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. Get baptized. Acts 10:48. When Cornelius got saved, Peter said, where's water that he might be baptized? He was baptized. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and also unto the other parts of the world. So start witnessing. Get busy telling others about Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So start giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. 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 And then Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So get serving. Get serving. And then number 6, I got to move on fast here. Number 6, love the author. Love the author. You need to come to this book like it's a love letter, because it is. God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved us. Just to illustrate that, when I was in a service out on a bivouac, I was engaged. I got engaged to my wife prior to that. And so the 2 weeks that we were on bivouac, I was writing to her. She was writing to me. She was a lot more faithful in writing to me than I was writing to her. So she wrote me every day. And every day at mail call, I'd go to the first sergeant's office and get my letter. And I'd go off someplace and I'd open that letter and I'd read the sweet words of a wonderful wife, soon to be. I put it in my fatigue pocket and go back about my business. Half an hour later, I'd pull that letter out and read it again, especially the phrases that said, I love you, I miss you. I couldn't get enough of it. In fact, I have saved them. I still have them in my archives somewhere. I don't know if anybody else will ever like them, but love the author. Love the author. Number 7, the rule of prayer. You do not, every time you open the Bible, every time you open this book, ask God to show you what he wants you to know. Ask God to show you what he wants you to know. Psalm 119, verse 12 says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. As I said before, open thou mine eyes, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. That's Psalm 119, verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Why? Because I want to walk in his way. And walking in his way means walking in his precepts, walking in his teachings. And then, number eight, the rule of literal interpretation. So often, the Reformed theologians will allegorize the scriptures instead of taking them literally. I said something years ago to a fellow, and I said, well, I'm a dispensationalist. He said, oh, you're a literalist, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. I take the Bible literally. What it says, when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. That's the golden rule of interpretation. When the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Take every passage, take every word at its normal meaning. Don't try to read something into it that's not there. If it says you're a sinner, you're a sinner. Don't try to allegorize that. If it says this is right, then it's what's right. You don't try to allegorize it. If you'll follow these eight rules, I think you'll be able to understand the Bible a little better. You won't know everything. No one does. But the Word of God tells us in Deuteronomy 29:29, the things which God has revealed to us, the hidden things of God belong to the Lord. The things that He's revealed to us are for our benefit, for our teaching, for our growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Jesus. Take this book. I was going to take some time to tell you what our responsibility to the Word of God is, but we don't have time for that. But I hope that you will take this book and apply those eight rules. And as I said, if you didn't take notes, and I can understand why, with me fumbling around up here. But if you didn't take notes and you'd like to have a copy of those notes, I'll be glad to get them for you. Let's bow for prayer.